Let's get back to the Scores Bulls season preview special. And now your hosts, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Whittington, Alyssa Bergamini, and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Bulls and always live on the free Odyssey app.
How will the Bulls stack up this season in the Eastern Conference? We get an opportunity to discuss that in just a second. But this is the Bulls season preview show presented by BetMGM, Remy Martin, and Tasty Trade. Gabe Ramirez, along with Chuck Swirsky, Bill Whittington, Alyssa Bergamini. Alyssa, let me ask you. I feel like a lot of people were not necessarily surprised, but bummed that the Bulls found themselves in that play-in situation. Do you see a scenario where the Bulls are back in there in the play-in coming into the season, or can they crawl their way out of that?
Can I tie in and bet MGM?
Sure.
Bulls to make the play-in tournament is at plus 125.
Oh, really?
What does that mean? I don't gamble.
You bet 100, you win 125.
There you go.
When there's a plus in front of it, you always just assume you're betting 100 bucks. I gamble too often.
It's they're the underdogs. Like when it's the plus sign means more the underdog.
But when it comes to the money, I think at the elementary, basic level.
So most
level,
people are saying that it's a pretty good bet the Bulls are going to be in the play.
No.
Or not.
You want that to be the minus sign in front of it.
Oh,
right?
Oh.
So it's confusing how it's quite literally the opposite of what you would think.
Yeah. Turn Bill's mic on there, Leo. There you go. I appreciate that. But yeah, so if it's a minus 120, Chuck, then you have to bet 120 to win the 100.
Okay, I get that. But what you're seeing is the experts. By the way, who puts these lines together? I've never been able to figure out. Do they have 10 people?
They're just in Vegas and they're
two kids. Two kids with an algorithm.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of variables and an algorithm, and then it just comes up with that. Yeah.
So they.
Seriously, it's an algorithm, yeah.
Yes. And it is crazy. So I know you asked me a totally different question, but since we're a little bit on this gambling topic here, last year I remember when we were doing this preview, the Bulls season win totals was at 42.5. And if you look at last year, they had 40 wins, 42 losses, 37.5, which is lower.
37.5?
And I asked Bill this in our post game on Tuesday. I said, I know we're not talking about actually gambling, but season win totals. Are we going over or under the 37.5 wins? And he did say over. And I have been preaching the over. To go back to your question, I do think that if they are in that play-in tournament again, they can succeed more than they did last year. You know, last year won against Toronto and then lost to Miami.
And Toronto's probably saying the same thing. If we had not missed 18 free throws and blown a 19-point lead
yes.
at
we
home,
could have been the Miami Heat, too.
On the other hand, you know what? At the Miami game down the stretch, you're feeling pretty good about what's going on. And then, Max Strus goes crazy. Tyler Hero goes crazy. They go on a 15-1 run, and they beat the Bulls.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'll tell you what. I'm going to blow your guys' minds right now.
Let's hear
I'm
it,
taking
Josh.
The Bulls to finish in the sixth seed in
Ooh,
the East.
I like the confidence, baby. You heard it.
I think they're
going to
get the sixth. I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Bulls. My hope is they stay healthy.
And that's what I was going to say.
Stay healthy.
That's the key right there. You mentioned it earlier in the show, Chuck. And if there's any injury to the big three for a long period of time. But I have the overall. I mean, that's my fandom. I'm always
going
to say
Same.
It over for that. But
I'm going over.
37 seems very manageable in this NBA, especially with other teams having to deal with injuries and where they're at.
I got last year's finishing right in front of me. So you look at Detroit and Charlotte. They're going to stay 14.
And Washington. Forget them. Those three are already in the lottery.
So that's three. Orlando has a chance to be better.
Yes.
True.
Indiana has a chance to be better.
Yes.
So they can be better. Then the Bulls were 10th. So we only really have to worry about two teams behind us. In front of us, we have Toronto. I'm going to say we can beat Toronto.
I think the Bulls are a better team than Toronto because of the loss of Van Vliet.
Yeah. And then Atlanta. I'm not an Atlanta fan, to be honest with you.
Okay. I'm an Atlanta fan because of Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, they're on the verge of being blown up every year, I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like Quinn Snyder. Miami's a dark horse for me this year because they've had so many changes. I don't know what direction to go. Okay. I know Jimmy's good and his will is great, but they were seventh. They'll probably be somewhere around that area. Mm-hmm.
How many games did Miami win last year?
44. But they played with a lot of injuries last year,
yes,
and they
did.
Peaked at the right time.
Yes, they did.
They really did. Brooklyn, who finished sixth last year, I think they're pretty good. I think they're going to stay roughly the same.
No, I think they're going to drop a little
bit. I think
they're
dropping.
Because remember, the beginning of the season, and they had
that's
everyone.
That's why I think you've got Boston, Milwaukee, clearly the top two teams in the East.
Without question.
Whether you like Boston, Milwaukee, Milwaukee, Boston, whatever the case may be, those two are the real deal.
Right.
The third team in the East, okay?
It's not going to be Philly anymore. I think they're going to plummet.
You can have Philly. I think they are a major
they're
mess.
They're going to plummet.
Cleveland, to me, would probably be the third best team.
I agree.
And then you've got a lot of these teams that are trying, okay, is it Miami, whatever? I think the Bulls have a legit shot at going with the sixth seed and not having to play in the play-in tournament.
So then New York would still be above us then, in your mind?
Then
New York would be five, and then...
I can see how Miami, Atlanta kind of slide. I mean, if Atlanta can figure it out, I mean, know who they are. But Trae Young, and you know who they got rid of John Collins, little addition by subtraction.
Well, they got rid of it because of the cap.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Addition by subtraction, though, you still have to account for what he wants to do on that team. I think they could do something. In Miami, I mean, they're always going to find a way because they're going to be a try-hard team. That we do know. You know, but you're right. I'm not sure how far down Philadelphia is going to plummet. They're going to go down most certainly.
Yeah, they're still going to be a good team.
Didn't Embiid say he wanted out the other day?
They got looking for a trade. Of internal issues.
Did
I bet.
Really?
Someone said.
There's a story that he's already thinking about going to the Knicks. See, of all the teams in the Eastern Conference right now that have draft capital, okay, in the West you have Oklahoma City draft capital. Mm-hmm. You got Utah draft capital. You got San Antonio. Draft capital. I mean, the West is going to be ridiculous within 2 years, 5 years, 7 years. I mean, all these teams are stockpiling draft picks in the West.
Yeah.
In the East, apparently New York has a lot of cap room. And Brooklyn, because, you know, they made that trade with Phoenix in the Durant deal, they're starting to get, you know, a little... So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here and how this thing shakes out with Philly.
Most certainly. And they're going to have some work to do. I mean, but I think you're right. It's closer than we probably think. And back to Alyssa, back to your point, that the 37.5, when you're looking at, you know, a lot of teams that are essentially going to be beating up on each other.
Yep.
It's not, there's not, like you mentioned, Chuck, it's going to be Milwaukee and Boston clearing far, far and away better than everyone else. Cleveland, if they can figure out that consistency and keep Donovan Mitchell happy in that squad, they're going to be good. But everybody else in the East, I mean, you're right. I mean, they can be in that situation where they're finding themselves in that sixth seed. That's interesting there.
Yes, yeah, Celtics and Bucks are both tied at 54.5 for the season win totals.
How many wins for Denver did they say?
They are in third at 52.5.
All right, who is picked to win the West?
I just have the totals up right now. But the Suns are 51.5.
51?
Yeah, so then...
And Denver is, you said, 50?
52.5.
Okay.
But that's regular season. I'm sure if you were to... Yeah. I'm sure what the odds are for...
How about
for
Golden
NBA
State?
48.5.
Okay. That's a four-game improvement from last year. Golden State have 44. Who do you guys think is coming out of the West, Bill? Who do you think is coming out of the West?
I'm at Denver again.
Denver again?
I think so.
No Durant. Bradley Beal... And Devin Booker
out there?
It's going
to be close. I get it, but I think they'll come out again. I think their experience will push through it, and they'll want it.
I think there was a little bit of, and Chuck, I'd love to hear your opinion on this. Last year with Denver, I felt very much it was a, no one really was looking for them. Even in the playoffs where it was like, yeah, they're gonna you know, fade away like they've done every single season. So no team was really looking for them where they didn't have an X on their back. Where I feel like this year, everyone understands what's going on, defending NBA champions, and so they'll just be viewed a little bit. I mean, you remember what that was like, being a team that finally wins a championship, and then teams play you a lot differently.
I think they were one of the most disrespected champions I've ever seen.
Without question. Even to this moment.
I still think people look at Denver, it was a fluke. It's not a fluke.
I don't think so. No.
Jokic and Jamal Murray are franchise
Michael
players.
Michael
Porter, you know what? Give the guy credit. I thought after that second back surgery, his career was in jeopardy. Same. And I give that franchise a lot of credit. A lot of credit. But I think Phoenix has done a really good job with their bench. Because normally, you know, you spend a boatload of money, you bring in Bradley Beal, and you got big contracts with Durant and Booker, and you say, wow. But a lot of players want that ring. They're chasing the ring. So they're going to settle for a one-year deal. I mean, Bill, if you
are
go
they?
On... What?
They're going to settle for a one-year deal, but are they going to settle for a lesser role?
Mm. Well, to win a ring, I think you buy in.
It didn't happen with the Lakers when they got Karl Malone and Gary Payton.
That whole situation was a mess. They were done by the time they got to L.A. Now, the players that are on Phoenix for the bench, they still have, you know, some life. They got a vibe. If you can call up Phoenix, the Suns.
Right. Yep.
And read some of the players because their bench is decent. Got
Joseph Nurkic is going to be their starting center.
Yep. Okay.
Josh Okogie, Bates Diop, somebody on. They just got Grayson Allen and Eric Gordon.
I like that.
Nasir Little. You know, Yuta Watanabe is going to be playing hard
for them.
Bol might be a two-way guy for them.
I like
them. Those are the guys that are
fighting on the roster. I can't say Phoenix won't be there. I just think in the end,
Denver will take it. The makeup of their team is what you need to be successful in the NBA, especially when you have a facilitator like Joker, where you have a Jamal Murray, a scoring point guard that can take over a game. We saw it in the bubble. We've seen it last year when he was actually healthy. And then you got that role player in Michael Porter where he understands he can take over the game, has the confidence to do so. But you can also have Joker where in the NBA playoffs, he'll put up a 50 ball on you.
I know, but I'll tell you what. I think Denver definitely is going to miss Bruce Brown. And they're going to miss Jeff Green. And they brought in Justin Holiday. And I think that's okay. But Bruce Brown gave them a huge lift, big time. And he played very well in the playoffs. And he got paid by Indiana. God bless him. I mean, you know, you look at the bench mob of the Bulls back in the day under Tibbs. And all those guys left because they were working on one-year deals. And they got paid. Korver got paid. Nate Robinson got paid. C.J. Watson got paid. All these guys got paid.
That's what happens.
It's hard to keep teams together.
Yes.
But I'm going to go back to the beginning of the show. Remember when you said it's a league loss when you fly to Denver? Devil's advocate. Would you rather fly to Charlotte or would you rather fly to Minnesota and lose a game on a team that you 100% should beat?
Right, where you get the back end of that. I see what you're saying.
Well, the thing that really irritates me is not only the back-to-back, but when you've got Utah coming into town 48 hours later.
It's a tough schedule. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but they got to fit it in the way they fit it in. I think they have computers that have algorithms that kind of put everything together. Teams put in dates that say, okay, we need it for, like, Bulls. We need Blackhawks dates here at the United States.
I know, but that doesn't mean I have to like it.
No.
I know you don't like the schedule, but was last year, did you feel like it was similar? How there was these back-to-backs, terrible travel days?
I think winning teams, and you have to win games to be on Christmas Day. You have to win games so you get primetime games when ABC starts putting those games on Saturday nights. And so they may get a more flexible schedule, but you got to win, and I get that. But when Bill played on those teams with Jordan, I mean, they had a pretty good schedule.
Yeah, they had the priority for the games first.
I agree 100%. But I also think the league has done a disfavor to the players because now with not as many back-to-backs, the players are playing almost every other day. So you really don't get a full day off. And even some of those days off are travel days now.
So
where you have to get on an airplane. Where before we'd have four and five nights in a season. But then we'd also have 3 or 4 days off two or three times in a season. Mm. And we had days off with Phil. Again, I admit our schedule was a little bit better. We had a couple of times 3 or 4 days off. Phil would actually just give us 2 days off.
Just go ahead. Make sure you're here. If
you need to come in for treatment, but you got two days off.
Those are important. And sometimes you need those kinds of things so that way you can have a breakout year. But who's going to have a breakout year for the Chicago Bulls in the upcoming season? That we will discuss next. You're listening to the Bull Season Preview Show, presented in part by BetMGM. Get the BetMGM app today. Now you're winning with the King of Sportsbooks. Please bet responsibly. It's Gabe Ramirez, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, and Alyssa Bergamini. More Bull Season Preview Show after this on 670 The Score.
Left corner Williams, 4-3. Got it! Oh, the Bulls are on fire from three-point range. Timeout, Miami. The Bulls have drained 17 threes in the ballgame. You wanted to add it up? How about 51 points?
Let's get back to the Scores Bulls season preview special. And now your hosts, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Whittington, Alyssa Bergamini, and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Bulls and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Who should we be expecting a breakout year from? That we will discuss in just a second. It's Gabe Ramirez, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Whittington, Alyssa Bergamini right here on the Bulls season preview show presented by BetMGM, Remy Martin, and Tasty Trade. Alyssa, I'll start with you. I know there's no odds on this because that would be too hard to actually put together. But when you talk about a breakout year, someone, and it doesn't have to, it could be even one of the superstars. Maybe someone you think is going to just elevate their game for a little bit. Who would that be for you?
Before I get to that, there are some odds.
There are some odds. I like this.
And then I'll answer your question. But they do have Zach LaVine to win Clutch Player of the Year, DeMar DeRozan to win Clutch Player of the Year as well at plus 3,300.
Is that an award?
These are odds. These are
yes,
high.
Yes, it is an award, okay. By the way.
Alex Crusoe to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Last 5 minutes.
Okay, so there were some odds on that, but different than what you were asking. Going back to Coby White, I think this is going to be a breakout year for him in the sense where if he does get that starting position as point guard, show his confidence, find his footing. He played, I think it was 74 games last season. So if he stays healthy and he, as we keep talking about, just, you know, finding his footing and you know, plays to the best of his ability, I think he could be a breakout star.
Let's stay on Coby White for just a second. He played 23 minutes a game last year. Where do we see that number going for Coby White this season?
Oh, it's going to go up. I think he's going to go up to, you know, starters, like Zach LaVine's minutes, right around the 30 mark.
Love that.
He's going to play 36 minutes?
No, I didn't say 36. 30.
Well, that's LaVine.
Pat Will's at 28
right now.
Yeah, but
he'll go up to
right
the 30 mark.
Oh, yeah.
28, 30, 30 minutes. 31, 30, yeah, 30.
Okay, I can
there.
See that.
Yeah, Pat Bev was playing about 28 minutes a game, so you could see Coby taking on a little bit more of that response. I was just curious because I'm trying to see what that's going to look like for the Bulls. More Coby White on the floor.
Well, who's going to be on the floor in the last minute of the fourth quarter in a tight game?
Yeah. I mean, Alex Caruso, you're going to have him playing defense
definitely.
For you?
Definitely. Yeah. You have to have him on the floor.
You're going to have to have him on the floor. You got, that's your one in that moment because you're going to let Zach control the ball, bring it over the timeline in that moment.
And I agree with Alyssa. Coby has to have a huge. I said your name right.
I know.
Is that why you're cheering?
No, because when you say I'm right.
I agree. Kobe's going to have a breakout year, but I also think Zach has to have one.
Same.
Zach has to have a big year. Zach has to have a year that DeMar had his first year here, and if Zach can do that, then I really, really like the Bulls a lot, and I think then Chuck underscored us at six if Zach and Coby can both step up big time.
I think Zach LaVine for certain can do that. And there's been this passing of the baton that has been happening, right? Where when DeMar first got here, it was a very cordial, you're the veteran, don't trip, you're good. I don't mind, you know, defaulting to you. Then year two, especially at the second half of last year, it was very much, I'm Zach LaVine, I am the high flyer, I'm healthy, and I can take over the squad. And then I think this year is that. I think this year, that's why I asked Will that earlier. Can Zach get up to that? And what I more so meant was elevating his game, right? Mm-hmm. And not necessarily scoring 30 because you're taking over and that's the style of play the Bulls are going to have, but more so, hey, Zach, this is your team and you should be the leading scorer on this squad.
Well, he's going to take more threes. He averaged about 6 or 7 a game a season ago. I think he's going to take 9 per game. I can see that. I think he's going to be an all-star this year. I think Vooch is going to average a double-double. I think DeRozan's going to get his 11th straight 20-plus scoring season. I'm going to give you a name that I think is going to have a breakout, not necessarily a breakout season. I think Julian Phillips is going to force Billy Donovan to play him.
I love that. I love hearing that, Chuck.
I'm serious.
I love hearing that. I mean, I think it's been a while since we've seen a young guy, even Patrick Williams. We're still sitting here talking about him and wanting him to take that next step. So to hear someone like a Julian Phillips and hear you mention that and have you having seen him to say that that's the guy we should be looking at, I'm excited about that.
Yep. And I, how about the last 5 minutes of the game? Mm-hmm. Julian played maybe a little less than 5 minutes, but he gets in the game. Monster dunk, block shot. And is felt like right away.
President hits a corner jumper.
Hits a corner jumper. I mean, right away, just. And here's a guy. Now, I get it, it's young. Sat on a bench, you know, for 40 minutes. 43 to be exact. But
yeah.
and was ready and able to go and turn it on like that. So that's huge. And we've already heard Billy talk about him a couple of times, that he's been impressed with the way he's jumped out and been playing in training camp. So I agree with Chuck. I think he's gonna be someone we're talking about a lot more.
So talk to me about the departures, right? Guys like Javonte Green not being there.
And he just got cut, by the way.
Did he from the Golden State
Warriors? State.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Somebody that I obviously you like him, you know.
I liked him a lot.
You couldn't stay healthy as much as you'd want him to. But so is that where you're seeing guys like Julian Phillips and those guys filling in those role playing roles, that corner three guy, that 3-and-D guy? Is that the roles that they're filling in?
Well, the way I look at this roster is this: I think the two players they acquired, Torrey Craig and Javon Carter, through free agency, this is an upgrade from a season ago. And when I say this, it's not personal against the players that have left. We're just talking about basketball, period. Okay, we're not talking about the character of individuals and they're nice people, whatever the case may be. We're just strictly talking basketball. I think people sometimes, when we do a sports talk show and we talk about players, they take it like it's a personal affront. And we're not talking about them as people. These are great guys. I mean, Bill could tell you, Liz could tell you, this is what we do, and we get to know these, and they're really wonderful human beings. We're just talking now about X's and O's. Yep. The addition of Craig and Carter, terrific. Great, great pickups by AK and Mark. And I like Julian Phillips a lot. So you've got three players who were not here a year ago. That brings me the optimism why this club can get better, along with the fact they're tweaking the offense, and it will take a while. Again, the whole key to me is not only how quickly it comes, I want to make sure they're healthy.
Yeah, and I think the Bulls did a really good job last year with that second unit. I felt like, you know, who they were plugging in certain moments, that would, to me, was the difference when playing a lot of teams where I felt like their second team was equally as good or better than in a lot of situations. And I think what you're talking about, right, is guys stepping up so that they can have a strong second unit with Javon Carter.
And I think they will. And they got to keep Caruso healthy.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Alyssa, about a guy like Ayo Dosunmu, a guy who was brought back to the squad, going to be a part of that, you know, second unit, going to be asked to play some defense. How do you think he's affected by the addition of some of the people that we brought on? And are we going to see the same Ayo that we've seen in the last couple of years?
Well, Chuck was bringing up Javon Carter. And something that spoke to me media day is that he said, when asked the question, what did the Bulls do last season when you were playing against them that you want to improve on? And he said, they missed a lot of opportunities. So I know you're asking about Ayo, but I think Javon and working with Ayo, they can work hand in hand in terms of creating those opportunities.
Yeah, I think, Bill, would you say, I mean, because obviously a guy like Ayo, young guy, was asked to come in, asked to play starter minutes for a lot of games, and then there was discussion as to whether or not he'd be on the team this year, but what direction the Bulls were going to go in. They're bringing a Javon Carter, and that's been his struggle since he's been a member of this organization, right? Where does he fit on that pecking order of guards for this team? So, I mean, what can you say about a guy like Ayo and how he can, you know, keep himself in good spirits, but at the same time still feel like he can contribute to this team?
I think he has to find his niche, and I think he struggled to do that with his offense right now. And when he came in, we talked about his defense, his length, his quickness, his lateral movement, what he can do. And I think if he could find a way to be that defensive guy, especially with the starting unit in clutch situations, Billy's going to look for, like, I don't need another scorer.
Yeah, shut down guy.
I need a guy that's not, and not only shut your guy down, but be there to help when someone on the weak side gets beat to help. It reminds me of when I was the mentor for the Bull, we had Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, and Ron was acting up because he wanted to play more. And he wasn't running the offense all the time. And I had to sit down. Billy Cartwright asked me to sit down with him, talk to him. I said, Ron, what's going on? He goes, I can score more. I said, I know you can score more, but you got to run the offense. No, but nothing's run for me. I said, if you run the plays, how can you score? And he was looking at me, and I said, like, look, you're one of the best defensive players in the league right now. Mm. I said, get steals. You're going to get layups.
Fast breaks.
Get offensive rebounds. And he's just looking at me. And he went out there and did that. And lo and behold, he was starting in a week because Now you need him on defense, but he's just getting you baskets without having to run set plays for him.
Yeah.
And then eventually when you find out he can score, you run set plays for him.
Yeah, and then it's not that bad when he's actually taking a shot because he's earned it. He's earned
exactly.
it.
And I think Io can be like that and be that guy where, you know, you're trying to fit into the offense. Make the defense you.
Yeah.
Make it your defense and just stop it. And you're going to get your opportunities in play. And the other thing that everyone's been talking about is transition. We talked about Zach getting out the other night. Get out. Get out and
we saw some moments last year where Io was extremely aggressive, you know, running in the open court, getting to the bucket, not passing it, throwing on some nice dunks. We know he can do that. We saw instances a couple of years ago when DeMar was out where he was asked and tasked with scoring a little bit more. He saw his mid-range, you know, on display. So we know he can, but you're right. It's about finding that niche so that that way it bleeds into other areas of your game so you can be successful there. It is the Bulls season preview show. And before we get out of here, 9 o'clock, we'll give you some final thoughts on the season and on the team. So don't go anywhere. We will be back. It's Gabe Ramirez, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, and Alyssa Bergamini right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Claxton with a runner with a left hand, no tipped in the air. Dosunmu on the runway. Dosunmu, no. Put back. Two-handed dunk. Oh, my goodness. A sack attack to the rack.
Let's get back to the Scores Bulls season preview special. And now your hosts, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Whittington, Alyssa Bergamini, and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Bulls and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Get some final thoughts on the Bulls season in just a second. Bulls kick off the season next Wednesday. Is that right?
Correct.
Against OKC at home.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How do you guys feel about that? The season's upon us. As employees and knowing you're going to be talking about the Bulls, like, what's that like?
It's about time.
As Chuck would say, fired up.
I am fired up. But it is going to be a really tough test for the Bulls. I mean, I'm anxious to see Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren's going to be there. The team's healthy. It's going to be tough, most certainly. But, like, I mean, like, you guys have been doing this for a while. You know, like, I mean, a week before the season, is it business as usual? I know you're fired up, but, you know, how does it still exciting after so many seasons? Is it because every year is new? Is that why? Like, what is that like, guys?
You know what it is? It's new beginnings, Gabe. It's, you know, last year, say what you want. You lose to Miami. It's disappointing. So you got hope. A couple things go better this year. You're better off. You have a better record. You win more games. A couple losses. Melissa and I were just talking about losses last year in Houston and Orlando. Early losses that were like, how do we lose those games? You know, you got a fresh start this year to come out and win those games. And I think they can do it. The bench got better. We got guys that can come in, and I think they're going to help not just with what their play is on the floor, but in the locker room. And that's big. I know, and I'm not a huge training camp guy going away and bonding and everything because I think you can do that anywhere. But I really think this team is getting closer together, and that matters when you're playing, especially in tough situations.
So you didn't like the fashion show that the Washington Wizards did as a team bonding experience? You saw that? They had Taj Gibson out there dressed up.
Yep.
Walking the.
Oh no! That's fun. That's okay. Good stuff. That because that makes it real and it shows the real personality of players, and you like to see that. And I think it's a lot harder to have that in today's NBA because social media and cell phones have taken over. Where
completely
when I was playing, we'd be on the bus talking and kibitzing with each other. It would be like the barbershop, going at guys and having fun and defend yourself verbally, not physically, verbally. And now guys are on their phones. They have their own people they're talking to and their own things they're doing. So I don't think that bonding is there all the time. I think it can be there. And I think it's there at times, but I think most of the time it's not where when I was playing, it was always there because that's all we had.
You can't discredit the bonding. I mean, knowing that you can play well for the guy next to you is always going to be important no matter the era of basketball. Listen, let me ask you, year two, right?
Yes. Started in March of 2021, but second full season.
Full season with the Bulls. What's that like for you heading in? Knowing that everybody's depending on you to win them some money this year.
Well, as you can see, we have fun together. So I love coming to work, and I've really learned so much, not only about Bulls, but about broadcasting and about radio. So for me, I feel energized every time I'm doing a game, whether it's at home in the studio. I do have to say, at home, though, it is way more fun to be there at the United Center. Here, of course, it's lovely as well, but I don't have conversations, you know, one-on-one with you guys. So, yeah, I've been looking forward to this season. Worked a full baseball season, as we all know, on the South Side.
Shout out White Sox.
So I am looking for, as you said, fresh beginnings. Yeah. And preseason is rearview mirror. So let's just get to the task at hand.
And Chuck, you do a great job of, you know, just making everyone feel comfortable. I know you shout out our guy Rich Wyatt a lot. Someone that just takes care of the broadcast.
And we love Leo Stoudaker.
We do.
We love Leo Stoudaker.
His twin brother is Alex Kuhn.
Yeah, who does
that? Leo Stoudaker, superstar. More like Leo Superstar.
We get that one all the time. But talk to me about, you know, being the point guard of the broadcast team, right? Everyone that's there, you know, you're
moving
things along.
I'm the Muggsy
Bogues. Is that what it is?
Yeah, see, by the way, for people listening, who's Muggsy Bogues? Muggsy, 5'3".
Of course.
Was a first-round pick by Washington out of Wake Forest, out of Dunbar High School. And then when he got hurt with the Raptors, he was my broadcast partner.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We
did three, believe it or not, on radio, we did three. And then when I went to TV, you know, Muggsy talked his way into TV, which was great. And so did Del Curry.
I got to have some personable guys there. Muggsy Bogues most certainly is one of them. All right, last thoughts on the Bulls.
Yes.
Closing thoughts that you guys have.
Six seed, book it.
Book it. Fire it up. Six seed, book it. That sounds like a good final thought. You two over there.
I'm saying over 37.5 wins.
And I'm saying if we stay healthy, way over 37.5 wins.
I think, because I look at this team and I'm thinking, is this a try-hard team like we've seen in the past? Or is this a team that's going to lean on talents to try to get them some victories this year?
That's a good question. They got to be a try-hard team. They got the talent, but they got to try hard. And they got to work at it. And they got to stay healthy.
Can they be that, though? Right? I mean, when you're looking at the squad and what they've been, can they... Chuck, can they be the try-hard team that we want them to be?
Well, sure. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah. I mean, this is not a bonus to play hard. You have to play hard 82 games. Now, they're not going to go 82-0. They're not. I mean, they're not going to go 72-10. We know that. But if they stay healthy and this offense, because they're going to have to, they have to take more threes. And more importantly, they've got to make threes. Bill knows this, and Alyssa knows this. When we get the box score sheet, Gabe, at the end of every game or during a timeout, how many times do I ask Bill, how many threes have we made? Six. How many threes has Minnesota made? 10. All right, so simple arithmetic, that's 18 points.
Yeah.
You know, or 12. So either way,
that's
six.
Why we're in broadcasting.
That's why we're in broadcasting. That Ohio U degree. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got to make threes. This world, I kid you not, if Bill played, if we transported Bill into 2023 in a St. John's uniform, Rick Pitino would be having Bill Winnington take threes.
Most certainly.
Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. That's what it was.
No, 6 feet back from where you were shooting from anyway, and then you'd be right there. You were already knocking down the mid-range before the mid-range.
I've seen 18-footers.
I remember.
I'd drop by 4 or 5 feet.
I'm sure you're knocking them down right now. Nothing wrong with that. But I try to look at this Bulls team, and I try to think, you know, especially with three-point shooting, because you're right, haven't put up a ton, didn't make a ton, but they're open. They're working within the game flow. So it's like, how can you – what are you coaching to get them to knock down more, right? Is it the drive and dish that they're preaching with Kobe White, or what is that?
I think it's all pace, because you're going to have to get more shots. And if you can come down in transition, you're going to get an open shot earlier, and especially if you attack the rim and push it. I know everyone talks about outside in now, but you still have to have, I think, you have to have that initial push to the basket, pull the defense in, and then find a guy. But if you do that and you play in transition, you're going to get just more shots. And because you're looking for threes, more of those will be three-pointers.
And that can happen in pace. All right, last question I got before we get out here. Kobe White, we know he's going to be obviously a starting point guard for the Bulls. He's going to be more aggressive, going to play more minutes like we talked about. Last year, he averaged 2.8 assists a game. What should that number be this year?
I think the preseason games, he averaged 4. I think it's got to be 4 or higher.
Chuck?
I agree. At least 4.
Yeah. I would like to be in that 5.86 range. That, to me, would see something good. Alyssa, what about you?
I'm going to say what Bill said.
What's the over-under for Coby White's assist total for the thing? All right, we are out of here.
I don't have that.
I want to say thank you to Will Perdue for hanging out with us today. Want to thank our producer. Excellent job, Leo Stoddard.
Yes, Leo.
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 You already played the clip, so you're not going
to
do it again.
Give our best to Alex Kuhn.
Yeah. Our producers today, Leo Stoddard and Alex Kuhn. No, but as we mentioned, first game of the season, Wednesday. Make sure you're here for it. Right here on 670 The Score. That way you can hear the wonderful voices of Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington,
and Alyssa
Bergamini.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much.
It's good to love Alyssa Bergamini.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Look forward to talking to you guys during the season. Mi gente, hasta la próxima. You know what it is. Bull season preview show presented by BetMGM, Remy Martin, and Tasty Trade. BetMGM is up next. BetMGM tonight, that is, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Claxton with a runner with a left hand, no, tipped in the air. Dosunmu on the runway. Dosunmu, no, put back, two-handed dunk. Oh my goodness, a sack attack to the rack.
Let's get back to the Score's Bulls season preview special. And now your hosts, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Whittington, Alyssa Bergamini, and Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Bulls and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Get some final thoughts on the Bulls season in just a second. Bulls kick off the season next Wednesday. Is that right?
Correct.
Against OKC at home.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How do you guys feel about that? The season's upon us. As employees and knowing you're going to be talking about the Bulls, like, what's that like?
It's about time.
As Chuck would say, fired up.
I am fired up. But it is going to be a really tough test for the Bulls. I mean, I'm anxious to see Holmgren.
Chet Holmgren's going to be there. The team's healthy. It's going to be tough, most certainly. But, like, I mean, like, you guys have been doing this for a while. You know, like, I mean, a week before the season, is it business as usual? I know you're fired up, but... You know, how does it still exciting after so many seasons? Is it because every year is new? Is that why? Like, what is that like, guys?
You know what it is? It's new beginnings, Gabe. It's, you know, last year, say what you want, you lose to Miami. It's disappointing. So you got hope. A couple things go better this year. You're better off. You have a better record. You win more games. A couple losses. Melissa and I were just talking about losses last year in Houston and Orlando, early losses that were like, how do we lose those games? You know, this, you got a fresh start this year to come out and win those games. And I think they can do it. The bench got better. We got new guys that can come in. And I think they're going to help not just with what their play is on the floor, but in the locker room. And that's big. I know, and I'm not a huge training camp guy going away and bonding and everything, because I think you can do that anywhere. But I really think this team is getting closer together, and that matters when you're playing, especially in tough situations.
So you didn't like the fashion show that the Washington Wizards did as a team bonding experience? You saw that? They had Taj Gibson out there dressed up, walking the.
Oh no, that's fun. That's okay. Good stuff. That because that makes it real and shows the real personality of players, and you like to see that. And I think it's a lot harder to have that in today's NBA because social media and cell phones have taken over. Where
completely
when I was playing, we'd be on the bus talking and kibitzing with each other. It would be like the barbershop going at guys and having fun and defend yourself verbally, not physically, verbally. And now guys are on their phones. They have their own people they're talking to and their own things they're doing. So I don't think that bonding is there all the time. I think it can be there. And I think it's there at times, but I think most of the time it's not where, when I was playing, it was always there because that's all we had.
You can't discredit the bonding. I mean, knowing that you can play well for the guy next to you is always going to be important no matter the era of basketball. Listen, let me ask you, year two, right?
Yes. Started in March of 2021, but second full season.
Full season with the Bulls. What's that like for you heading in? Knowing that everybody's depending on you to win them some money this year.
Well, as you can see, we have fun together. So I love coming to work, and I've really learned so much, not only about Bulls, but about broadcasting and about radio. So for me, I feel energized every time I'm doing a game, whether it's at home in the studio. I do have to say, at home, though, it is way more fun to be there at the United Center. Here, of course, it's lovely as well, but I don't have conversations, you know, one-on-one with you guys. So, yeah, I've been looking forward to this season. worked a full baseball season, as we all know on the South Side.
Shout out White Sox.
So I am looking for, as you said, fresh beginnings, and preseason is rearview mirror. So let's just get to the task at hand.
And Chuck, you do a great job of, you know, just making everyone feel comfortable. I know you shout out our guy Rich Wyatt a lot. Someone that just takes care of the broadcast.
And we love Leo Stoudaker.
We do.
We love Leo Stoudaker.
His twin brother is Alex Kuhn.
Who does that?
Leo Stoudaker, superstar. More like Leo Superstar.
We get that one all the time. But talk to me about, you know, being the point guard of the broadcast team, right? Everyone that's there, you know, you're moving things along.
I'm the Muggsy Bogues.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, see, by the way, for people listening, who's Muggsy Bogues? Muggsy, 5'3".
Of course.
Was a first-round pick by Washington out of Wake Forest, out of Dunbar High School. And then when he got hurt with the Raptors, he was my broadcast partner.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
we did three, believe it or not, on radio, we did three. And then when I went to TV, you know, Muggsy talked his way into TV, which was great, and so did Del Curry.
Most you got to have some personable guys there. Muggsy Bogues most certainly is one of them. All right, last thoughts on the Bulls.
Yes.
Closing thoughts that you guys have.
Six seed, book it.
Fire it up. Six seed, book it. That sounds like a good final thought. You two over there?
I'm saying over 37.5 wins.
And I'm saying if we stay healthy, way over 37.5 wins.
I think, because I look at this team and I'm thinking, is this a try-hard team like we've seen in the past? Or is this a team that's going to lean on talents to try to get them some victories this year?
That's a good question. They got to be a try-hard team. They got the talent, but they got to try hard. And they got to work at it. And they got to stay healthy.
Can they be that, though? Right? I mean, when you're looking at the squad and what they've been, can they... Chuck, can they be the try-hard team that we want them to be?
Well, sure. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah. I mean, this is not a bonus to play hard. You have to play hard 82 games. Now, they're not going to go 82-0. They're not. I mean, they're not going to go 72-10. We know that. But if they stay healthy and this offense, because they're going to have to, they have to take more threes. And more importantly, they've got to make threes. Bill knows this, and Alyssa knows this. When we get the box score sheet, Gabe, at the end of every game or during a timeout, how many times do I ask Bill, how many threes have we made? Six. How many threes has Minnesota made? 10. All right, so simple arithmetic, that's 18 points.
Yeah.
You know, or 12. So either way,
that's why we're in broadcasting.
That's why we're in broadcasting. That Ohio U degree. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got to make threes. This world, I kid you not, if we transported Bill into 2023 in a St. John's uniform, Rick Pitino would be having Bill Winnington take threes.
Most certainly.
Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. That's what it was.
No, 6 feet back from where you were shooting from anyway, and then you'd be right there. You were already knocking down the mid-range before.
Yeah, I'm hitting 18-footers.
I remember.
I'd drop back 4 or 5 feet.
I'm sure you're knocking them down right now. Nothing wrong with that. But I try to look at this Bulls team, and I try to think, you know, especially with three-point shooting, because you're right, haven't put up a ton, didn't make a ton, but they're open. They're working within the game flow. So it's like, how can you – what are you coaching to get them to knock down more, right? Is it the drive and dish that they're preaching with Kobe White, or what is that?
I think it's all pace, because you're going to have to get more shots. And if you can come down in transition, you're going to get an open shot earlier, especially if you attack the rim and push it. I know everyone talks about outside in now, but you still have to have, I think, you have to have that initial push to the basket, pull the defense in, and then find a guy. But if you do that and you play in transition, you're going to get just more shots. And because you're looking for threes, more of those will be three-pointers.
And that can happen in pace. All right, last question I got before we get out of here. Kobe White, we know he's going to be, obviously, a starting point guard for the Bulls. He's going to be more aggressive, going to play more minutes like we talked about. Last year, he averaged 2.8 assists a game. What should that number be this year?
I think the preseason games, he averaged 4. I think it's got to be 4 or higher.
Chuck?
I agree. At least 4.
Yeah. I would like to be in that 5.86 range. That, to me, would see something good. Alyssa, what about you?
I'm going to say what Bill said.
What's the over-under for Coby White's assist total for the thing? All right, we are out of here.
I don't have that.
I want to say thank you to Will Perdue for hanging out with us today. Want to thank our producer. Excellent job, Leo Stoddard.
Yes, Leo.
Yeah, Leo.
Leo.
You already played the clip, so you're not going
to
do it again.
Give our best to Alex Kuhn.
Yeah. Our producers today, Leo Stoddard and Alex Kuhn. No, but as we mentioned, first game of the season, Wednesday. Make sure you're here for it. Right here on 670 The Score. That way you can hear the wonderful voices of Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington,
and Alyssa
Bergman.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much.
It's good to love Alyssa Bergman.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Look forward to talking to you guys during the season. Mi gente, hasta la próxima. You know what it is. Bull season preview show presented by BetMGM, Remy Martin, and Tasty Trade. BetMGM is up next. BetMGM tonight, that is, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.